Our next speaker has a general law practice in Tyler, including representation of a number of school districts throughout the state in all matters of governance, employment, and more. He attended Duke University, earning a degree in economics in 1998, and was a successful entrepreneur before attending law school at the University of Houston Law Center. John and I were actually members of the same 1L section and the same study group many years ago, and he remains a dear friend of mine. I never met a teacher client that I didn't like in Tyler. It may give me the opportunity to work with either John Hardy II, the Kelly Frells Award-winning attorney and Southern gentleman, or if I'm lucky, then I may have the opportunity to work with my friend, the younger, maybe more colorful, but always formidable adversary, John Hardy III. I introduce to you my friend John.
Thank you, Gianna. It's a privilege to be here and to speak to people that I knew and know, grew up with, learned under, cut my teeth early in practice. It's pretty exciting to be up here, so thanks for having me today. Some of you who know my dad know that he rarely makes it through an introduction to one of these speeches without addressing his friend, Wayne Haglin. I see Wayne in the back today. They grew up together, talk about their days in Beaumont. Wayne likes to point out that Dad's a year or so older. They trade barbs about playing football together and that sort of thing. I will just say that if I hear the eyes of Texas during my presentation, I have an alternate slide pack today called Geriatric Guide to Silencing Cell Phones. I will pop that up. So, anyway, thank you for having me. We're going to talk a little bit about open meetings. We're going to talk about public comment. I'm a little torn about this. It's a squishy topic. Part of me says, if you don't know this stuff, you don't need to be here, or maybe you desperately need to be here. You all have done this. I suspect there's nobody in the room that doesn't do a board meeting a month or a week, or and sometimes 3, 5, 7 of these things a week. So I'm going to move through it hopefully pretty quickly. We'll talk about things that you likely already know. Public comment tends to be an entertaining and sometimes frustrating part of your public meetings, be it school board or otherwise. I've referenced it here as the Karen Show. My mother, who is possibly the only person I know smarter than my father, she addressed me about this slide and she said, "That's really not fair to people named Karen." I said, "I know, Mom, it's just a thing." And she said, "Well, but it's maybe not even fair to women." I said, "I know." So I've done a little informal survey, and I'm told that the male analog to the Karen Show is either Ian or Jeremy. So, with apologies to any of you, those are the names. You know, my comeback really was, well, you know, they say stupid stuff, and stupid stuff is non-binary. So, I've made a slide here. I said, you know, this presentation is not about First Amendment, and you know, who can say what, and it's not about all the transgender issues, and it's not about porn and smut in the school library. It's not about your athletic director and your football program, and if you're winning or losing, that is important to people at your board meetings. Sometimes your trustees even. But we've had great presentations already on a number of these topics. At the same time, this presentation is all about those topics. Quoting Kevin in the Culture Wars, attendance is up at school board meetings because people want to talk about these things, and public comment is their opportunity to do that. So it's hard to containerize this. I'm going to talk about the mandatory nature of public comment, some of the boundaries that you can and cannot place on it, and some of the challenges that it may pose for your school boards. Now, we're not going to do Open Meetings Act basics because we shouldn't have to. You've all lived and done this stuff. I am going to say something that's pretty rare for me. I'm going to give a shout out to the Office of the Attorney General. If you don't have it, download the handbook on open meetings. And while you're there, grab the one on the Public Information Act. They may be the two most useful government publications that have ever come out of Texas. They're a great first reference stopping point. They may not have exactly the answer that you want, but they'll get you pointed in the right direction. If you don't have that resource, you desperately need it. It travels with me when I know I'm going to have oddball, weird questions at a school board meeting. So let's start with the very basics. There's a mandatory opportunity for the public to be heard at public meetings. I've given you the statutory definitions here of what constitutes a meeting. Again, I don't want to get hung up on that, but the long and the short of it is, you know, when you're there, it's conducted by the governmental body, there's a quorum, it was called and posted, and at which members, and I've highlighted one part here, receive information from, give information to, ask questions of, or receive questions from any third person.